It's Keith McPherson on The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
This was as close to, like, the schedule could be after a game. Like, I'm scheduled to be on at 6:45, and I actually get on at 6:47. Let's do it! 888-808-1019. Yeah, I'm down in the dumps, beaten up, sick about the Yankees. But, I mean, I have other hobbies. I have other things going on in my life, so I can't let it get to me. But I understand, Yankee fans, some of you are just down in the dumps, and we got to talk through all of it. I mean, you get a big win on a Friday night, and then it's zoop, immediately erased by what we just saw. And before we get into all the Yankee crying and complaining and finger-pointing, oh, my God, Macarena, 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 oh, my God. The vibes couldn't be any more different between the two teams we rep here in this city. It's almost laughable. You know, as a host on WFAN, we have to come in here with takes and opinions and thoughts every single day. And if you hear me talk about it, I say these thoughts and these opinions, these takes, they can expire quickly. And, you know, you have to have conviction. You have to have your own thoughts. You have to have your own takes, and you got to kind of stand on them. And we're all going to be wrong. We're all going to be wrong, like, more times than not. So it's hard to, you know, look at a baseball season and a baseball team that had everything going right like the Yankees and predict that they would fall from grace and have a June swoon like they have. 888-808-1019. I had been saying that the gauntlet was coming. I just knew they were going to run into better teams. And I knew baseball was going to baseball. I knew somebody would be hurt. I knew that they wouldn't be able to continue sweeping teams and they'd struggle, but this isn't struggling. They're trash. They're one of the worst teams in baseball over this stretch. It's not fun to watch at all, but the Mets, the make it happen Mets, these are my Mets. I've never watched this much Mets baseball. This is one of the best runs the Mets have had in recent memory. All of a sudden, they have a theme song. They have a pop star in the lineup. And as much as we were talking about Grimace, and they're showing Grimace right now in Citi Field on the screen, I'm watching Picks 11. I don't want to jinx anything, but I was just talking to Paulie and Connor. I'm like, well, with this run that the Mets have been on, and even with Edwin Diaz being out, there hasn't been an opportunity for the shaky bullpen to blow a game and be the shaky bullpen. Here we are, if you're not paying attention. Top of the eighth against the Houston Astros. It's 6-4. They have two outs, but there's a runner on second and third. Reed Garrett is in a 3-2 count here. Let's see what happens. But I still expect the Mets to win. I expect them to keep winning. I expect this thing to not be a flash in the pan because their lineup is ridiculous. There are no holes in the lineup. They're hitting. They're hitting everybody. It doesn't matter if it's Framber Valdez. It doesn't matter if it's Luis Gil, Garrett Cole, Dylan Cease, John Gray. Let me go back and look at all of these starting pitchers that they've absolutely rocked, embarrassed. That lineup hits the ball out of the ballpark. I was listening to Gary Cohen call the game, and he was talking about how they've hit multiple games. Well, this won't be it, but they had a streak of multiple games with three home runs. And how many games in a row they've hit the ball out. They're raising the apple. Like, they're mashing. You tip your cap to Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, JD Martinez, who is a professional hitter, and I think he makes a huge impact on all of these guys. Guys like Mark Vientos getting the chance to play every day, proving people wrong, and showing that the hitting we saw from him in the minors has translated. Francisco Alvarez, the best, El Troll. And then you have guys like DJ Stewart, Harrison Bader, Tyrone Taylor that fill in the blanks. Did Jeff McNeil hit a three-run bomb last night? Like, there's no holes in their lineup. David Stearns is smarter than I thought. He's a genius. a marketing genius. The McDonald's Grimace stuff from June 12th with Grimace coming to Citi Field. We all kind of laughed at it. Like, what's they? Let, I remember that night I was on. I'm like, they let anybody throw out a first pitch. That was a magical first pitch. The Grimettes, the Grimace and Mets, the Grimace era, whatever you want to call it, they were 28-37 on June 12th before Grimace pulled up. You add that with Francisco Alvarez coming back, with Jose Iglesias, who Carlos Mendoza has talked about on and off the field, the veteran impact that he has brought, the good vibes that he has brought. And like, how crazy is it that last night they have an Apple TV game, those 4K cameras, and when they win the game, this guy's song drops. I looked it up. I was streaming it. Candelita. They have a pop star on the team. And that song is generic. It sounds like any other, you know, pop song, like a island vibes, tropical vacation song. But it's good vibes. It's good energy. And the team had been listening to that in the clubhouse for the last couple weeks. Now everybody's rocking with it. And it's amazing to see an athlete get to live out that dream, because rappers, musicians, they want to be athletes. Athletes, they want the other way around. I remember earlier this year I was talking about how I've never seen some of these guys in Legends and some of these guys that the Yankees are posting. Juan Soto has brought out every reggaeton artist, every top guy from Mike Towers to I don't even know these guys' name, Archangel. But for Jose Iglesias to be on the Mets roster, have this song, have the Mets winning since May 31st when he came up, the impact that he has made on top of Grimace, right now they have some swag, they have some energy, right? I can tip my cap to it. As a Yankee fan, the Yankees are buttoned up, right? I'm watching them right now in their City Connect uniforms. The Yankees aren't going to make a City Connect uniform. I'm watching them last night. For the longest, I've wanted the Yankees to have some type of home run celly. Some type of celebration when the guy comes back to the dugout, not even just like a, you know, obviously hands up going through the line, but a prop. That's what I mean. More so like a prop for television. Now they've got the OMG shirts and the OMG sign. When a guy hits a homer, he can hold the OMG up for the camera. The Mets are cool. All of a sudden, the Mets have a bunch of cool things going around the team. David Stern's a marketing genius. 888-808-1019. I have not seen a Mets team with this much swag, energy, or that's a wild pitch. Pass ball. Run scores. It is 6-5. Runners advance. Here we are now. I'm not going to say anything else about what's happening in the game here. I'll finish my open. But yeah, all of this is connected. Now everybody is talking about the Mets. They're not just a New York story. They're a national story, not just in baseball, but in all of sports, because of all of these things floating around. A 22-year-old catcher who is the alpha of the team. Francisco Lindor, who's balling now that he's at the leadoff spot. The Oh My God song with Jose Iglesias. The Grimace factor with Grimace's birthday and birthday month and them running with that. All of a sudden now, people are looking at the Mets and they're saying, hey, this is cool. They've got some swag. They've got some energy. They've got some aura. And little kids are making decisions just off of this week. There are little kids in the greater New York City area that are saying, I want a Mets hat. And it breaks my heart. They see the Mets pummel the Yankees. They see Grimace under the bridge chugging beers in the rainstorm. They see, Oh My God, there's a song. Like, imagine, imagine Darren Waller performing in MetLife Stadium after the Giants, I don't know, beat the Packers on Monday Night Football. Darren Waller gets the mic and can, like, so many athletes wish for that to happen, and the Mets have all of that going on right now. They got to find a way to win this game, but even if they don't, it doesn't matter. They haven't lost a game in the Grimace era. They're still up 1-0. It's the eighth inning, and I think with their energy and how they're playing, the camaraderie, like, they had this event the other day. I saw Evan Roberts talking about the World Series. It's great. I'm like, you guys went from punt, sell everybody off, this team's terrible, same old Mets, to look at these guys dancing and partying together at the Mets Foundation event. They've got so much chemistry, camaraderie. This is a World Series bound team. This team's going to win the World Series. Great. Because you know what? Baseball is a long season. The summer is long. The summer's just starting. And at least you have a season. At least you have something to believe in, look forward to, and go to the ballpark for, right? Friday night, fireworks night, black jerseys night, not 16,000 people showing up over 34,000 people showing up to Queens to root for this team. Just that fast, Steve Cohen. You got it. Yeah. Steve Cohen is using that Twitter machine again. Steve Cohen is popping his head out to be like, hey, this is pretty good. I see what's going on. Let's keep it going. 888-808-1019. Now, when I talk about the vibes couldn't be any different with the New York Yankees, I don't have to tell you. There's a few things we're going to talk about, from Gleyber Torres to Marcus Stroman, Juan Soto being scratched today. So many people are coming at Boone's decision-making and not giving Boone any credit. It is what it is. When it all falls down, the ceiling is falling, the roof is falling, the sky is falling. It is doom and gloom for the New York Yankees. It doesn't seem like there is any way out of this rut that they're in with the injuries they have and the just lack of performance. And now we're looking at Brian Cashman like, hey, David Stearns just met the media on Friday. You're up next, buddy. We got to go to the break already. We got to go to the update already. Keith McPherson on the Fan for another 3 hours. You got me till 10 p.m. I see the Yankee fans blowing up the line. Let's see what happens here with the Mets in the top of the eighth. Call the show. Join the show. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back.
Oh, my God. Todo lo malo echado para allá. Oh, my God. Macarena, Macarena, Macarena. Oh, my God. Reed Garrett's not good anymore. Oh, my God. Gotta find a way to come back here. Why not have a walk-off win into Oh, My God? Why not have a comeback win? Maybe it doesn't even need to be a walk-off here. You got to believe. Get Grimace going. Wait. That ball's staying in. All right, there's the last out. Going to the bottom of the eighth. It's 7-6 Houston Astros. I am rooting for the Mets to beat the Houston Astros. The Houston Astros are about to bring in Ryan Presley. And the Houston Astros are a peer-tier team in the American League, right? They're a team that started off terrible. They're a team that the Yankees swept early in the season and everybody was writing them off. But you know what? They didn't write back because they got a bunch of guys that are tested, guys that have done it before. They battle back to 500 and they come into Citi Field. They draw first blood last night with an Altuve homer, a Jake Myers homer tonight. But they're going to keep battling. That's a team that has a lot of guys that have been in a lot of wars. And let's see what the Mets have in store here. They've got the bottom of the eighth here and the ninth. And I think this is the first real test of the bullpen where, okay, maybe the bullpen blows it. Maybe the bullpen doesn't have enough. Let's see if the bats have enough. Let's see who can be clutch here. Let's see if the mojo continues undefeated with the purple blob. Let's see if the streak can live on. 888-808-1019. Now, I got to take some deep breaths here. I got to try my best not to curse, not to say anything that I don't mean, talking about the New York Yankees. But I'm done telling anyone that it's early. I'm done telling anyone that it's baseball. I'm done telling anybody out there that can hear me that it's a roller coaster. No, they're bleeding out. This is bad. They can't stop the bleeding. They did last night. And of course, Yankee fans versus other Yankee fans, the greatest rivalry in the sport. You know, they did last night, and folks still had something to beef about, something to argue about, something to be mad about, someone to point a finger at. Marcus Stroman. Well, first off, Marcus Stroman started his career in Toronto. 10 years ago, I met him in the Fan Cave. He was quiet as kept as a rookie coming in to the league. And fast forward 10 years, he's a New Yorker living the dream, playing for the New York Yankees. And right now, that dream has turned into an absolute nightmare. He's somebody who is small in stature, so he's always had to compete at a higher level. He's always had to overcome that. And I think getting back to Toronto and being on that mound, trying to be the stopper for the New York Yankees last night, that came with a ton of emotions. That came with a competitive fire that I didn't mind. If you go look, there's a video circulating, and I have it on my Twitter, @Keith_McPherson. There's a video circulating right now of Justin Steele
from the Chicago Cubs, where he's coming off of the field into the dugout, slamming his glove, yelling and screaming, telling his teammates, wake the F up, wake the F up. Trying to get the Cubs going as their season is spiraling and as they're not even a wild card team. Like, guys want to win. Guys are playing high level baseball. There's a lot of emotion and guys are tired of losing. No one likes losing. I don't mind a little competitive fire. And of course, because it's Marcus Stroman, half the fan base already doesn't like the guy from nonsense that went on years ago. It's like, oh, this guy's all about himself. Oh, this guy's got to keep his cool. Oh, this guy's showing up the team. How about a guy that just got here, not accepting it, right? Because Yankee fans are starting to talk about how this feels like 2022 all over again. Stroman wasn't here in 2022. How about a guy that's a New Yorker with some pride, with some New York in him, saying, nah, it's not good enough. And you know what? The double play with Gleyber Torres, it is what it is, right? Gleyber had 2 days off before that game. I tip my cap to Aaron Boone, quote-unquote, benching him. Maybe one day was a benching, the other day was rest. It worked. You know what also worked? A guy like Marcus Stroman yelling and screaming and showing emotion and not just going through the emotions of losing and getting beat and accepting guys behind him, not playing with the level of intensity that he was playing with, that he was expecting. And you know what? I appreciate the captain, Aaron Judge, saying, hey, man, you know, obviously this is Judge's team. Hey, man, don't show up our guys. Whatever he said to him. Hey, you know, we got you. We're going to pick you up. You know, he learned that from Jeter. That's from the Jeterian school of being the Yankees captain. Don't show up our guys. Like, Gleyber Torres, maybe he could have had a little bit more urgency. And it's Gleyber Torres. You know how we all think he's nonchalant, how we all think he's careless, how we all think he's not a winning player because his MO is to not be. So it wasn't so off base that Marcus Stroman is expecting a double play and it doesn't get turned. And he's saying, throw the ball and saying, play with a little more intensity. In the moment, it got to him. And he went on his Twitter and Instagram, which so many of you talked about, oh, this guy's got to stay off Twitter and Instagram. No, he uses it very effectively. He said, the squad went crazy today. Love to see it. Raw emotion and passion are part of the game. When you care deeply, frustrations come into the light. That's on me for losing my cool. I have to be better, truly love this team, and will always compete at the highest level for my brothers. On to the next. He took accountability. After the game, he said he checked in with everybody he had to check in with. A lot of guys do that, and they try to duck the smoke. They try to not take accountability. They don't want to talk. I can appreciate that. 888-808-1019. If you watched the game last night, the Yankees were awakened after that. It was like, that's what it took? The guy that's only been here for a few months to get pissed off, to show somebody up, to call somebody out, and now Gleyber Torres is back. Now the offense is back. Now Soto's hitting home runs. Like, Marcus Stroman woke up the Yankees last night, and then they fell back asleep today. You go into this game today, after DJ gets his first extra base hit, after, you know, Gleyber Torres hits a homer, after the Yankees put up 16 runs. And the first thing today with Nestor Cortez, who's been pretty solid, but I understand, I don't know, for some reason there's a patch of Yankee fans that hate Nestor Cortez and think he doesn't belong and doesn't deserve, I don't know. Nestor's been decent, better than decent, honestly. He's way better in Yankee Stadium, but it is what it is. Road game. As soon as I heard Juan Soto was scratched, I'm like, we're cooked. Because Chris Bassitt has owned us recently. Former Met. Mets probably should have kept him. But I thought we were about to get a break when Aaron Judge hit a ball 101 miles per hour off his right arm, off his throwing arm. I'm like, oh, this guy's not going to be able to go. And if he goes, he's not going to be effective. But nope. The Yankees do what they do. They get runners on in the first. They strand them. And Ben Rice runs into an out at third. Stealing. You know, it is what it is. Watching this game today, that lineup of the Blue Jays is better than the Yankees. Everybody in baseball's lineup is better than the Yankees right now. And they have a generational Juan Soto. Oh, they didn't have him today. And they have a Hall of Famer, a guy that many of us are saying is the best baseball player we've ever seen in Aaron Judge. That's one guy. As I was talking about the Mets lineup, there's no holes in their lineup. You need all of those guys to be able to make an impact. It's about passing the baton. You can't have automatic outs like the Yankees have. The Yankees are down to the studs. They're down, not to studs, like they're down to the backups of the backups. They're down to who are these guys? Like, we got a DH, Jamai Jones. Like, what? It's unfortunate. It's showing you this team never had the depth. And obviously now with injuries, Volpe goes down today. I'm thinking Volpe's out. We can't have Soto out, Volpe out, Stanton out, Rizzo out. When it rains, it pours. This bullpen is trash. This is a poverty bullpen. And I know you guys are going to point to Kirk Cousins' cousin going out there. You like that. And pitching well and then not having another inning to go out there and them going to Phil Bickford. And then that's good day, folks. Enjoy your Saturday. But you know, like I know, the Yankees have scripts and lanes and things that they want to do, and that's what it is. They had him pegged to do that role, and that's what, you know, he did, and whatever. That's the game. The offense scored one run. They weren't going to score any more runs than that anyway. So I'll start taking your calls. Call me up. I know you guys want to talk trade deadline because now you guys want Vladdy Jr. for some reason. I'm good on that. Yeah, I get it. I understand he destroys us as he's hit a homer in all three of these games, and IKF is getting his revenge, and now there's a resurgence of George Springer after he struggled all year. Yeah, they've got hitters over there. They've got a better lineup than the Yankees, and their bullpen is trash can. But you can hide a terrible bullpen if you can score runs. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Billy in Westchester County first up on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, how you doing? I hope everything's well. Keith, listen. The bullpen's full of guys that have been released numerous times. That's on Cashman. He's got guys that nobody wants. Nobody wants. He's got LeMahieu. How did he think that he was going to do this year? They've got a first base problem. They got two catches that are bad. I don't understand what Cashman. And I want to ask you a question. I forgot about Baltimore. Even when we were 4.5 ahead of the Dodgers, I thought Baltimore would go right by us. They're going to go right by us. We will make the wild card, right? I mean, we're about 7 or 8 games ahead of Boston, Minnesota, and Kansas City. I mean, I'm worried with that even because this team, they it doesn't look like a slump. I've seen slumps before. It looks like a collapse. I mean, this lineup is terrible. Every once in a while, they score 10, 12, 14, 13 runs, and then they don't score anymore. And let me ask you, Keith, if this continues to the All-Star break where they're, you know, they're playing bad ball. Any chance? Are they just going to go down with the ship and they're not going to do nothing?
Nah, hell no. There's no way. There's no way. Thanks for the call, Billy. We'll address a few different parts of that. There's no way they do that. They gave up parts of the bullpen, guys that could be pitching in the Juan Soto deal. They also passed on re-signing some guys from the bullpen. We always knew they were going to go to the scrap heap, the bargain bin, the clearance rack. For the bullpen. You hear all this talk about, oh, how Steinbrenner in the payroll. Yeah, they can't just have a bunch of expensive guys everywhere. And we've trusted that Matt Blake, Mike Harkey, Aaron Boone, and Cashman would have enough guys in that bullpen. And they were good in the beginning of the year. Enough guys in that bullpen to get it done. Now guys have gotten hurt. Guys haven't been effective. But yes, Billy. When you're looking at guys like Dennis Santana, gone. Victor Gonzalez, gone. Phil Bickford, I mean, might as well be gone. Caleb Ferguson. We have Journeyman. We don't have so many of our own guys in the bullpen anymore. They're not good, and that's a problem. You know why that's a problem? Because since Gerrit Cole came back, and it's not correlated, but maybe it is. Maybe the starting rotation relaxed some, getting the best pitcher in baseball back, and he's not back to being himself. Since Gerrit Cole has come back, the rotation, who we were like, man, wow, Brian Cashman didn't go sign Jordan Montgomery or Blake Snell. He went with Luis Hill. Luis Hill looks like the best pitcher in the American League. No, now he looks like a rookie again. Now he looks like he's hitting a rookie wall. Clark Schmidt has been hurt. Cody Poteet filled in admirably, but he is hurt. So Cole comes in. When he goes to the IL, and Cole hasn't looked great, here we go again with Cole. Stroman was able to be the stopper twice. Nestor gave you a good outing against the Orioles. But as a whole rotation, not good enough. And as much as we praise them for all of our starters, have gone four innings or deeper in every game of the season. That's done. And now when you go to that bullpen, they're shaky, and everybody in baseball knows it. And these better lineups and these better teams that we're facing, they're teeing off. And you know what the Yankees can't do that they were doing in the beginning of the year? Get an early lead and keep adding on and adding on and adding on, because they had the same lineup for the most part every single day. Once they moved Verdugo to the cleanup spot, obviously once they moved Volpe to the leadoff spot, there was continuity, consistency, and left-right balance. Now we have Trent Grisham in the lineup. Now we have Jahmy Jones DHing. Like, if that doesn't scream like this is a problem and this isn't a slump, like this is, there's so many different things wrong. This is the Yankees being exposed. Sam is in Hackensack, New Jersey. Sam, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. I think one of the things, too, it's magnified. Forget today. The Mets playing so well and the Yankees, the wheels falling off. I mean, if the Mets were playing like the Mets were playing a month ago, it wouldn't be this magnified.
With the timing of the Subway Series as well, that they actually faced each
other. Absolutely. And I have one question. Does this not open the door for Soto to come to the Mets?
The door was never closed. That door, that's the main door.
Right.
Like, if he was going to leave and walk through another door, that's the main door.
Yeah.
But I'm not worried about that today. Like, as of today, thanks for the call, Sam. As of today, Juan Soto isn't playing tomorrow. As of today, Juan Soto has missed more games in a month than he's missed in the recent years. I just saw my boy McFly put out there, like, how come Juan Soto is never hurt? Juan Soto can play 150 games, but he comes to the Yankees and he's banged up. He's hurt, and the Yankees got to be cautious and scratch him from the lineup and sit him down and double, triple check him. How come? Seems like these same things are consistent and contagious. The Yankees always lead the league in IL stints. And then the Yankees are always super cautious, almost to the point where they're banking on being in October and resting guys, scheduled rest for Stanton. Let's give this guy an extra day off. Let's give Judge a half day. If there's even a little bit of a boo-boo, let's take Soto out of the biggest series of the season against the Dodgers just in case, because we need him in October. Stop playing for October. We play today. We win today. That's it. That's what it's got to be. Can you go? Are you hurt or are you injured? If you're hurt, everybody's hurt. Nobody's 100% after spring training starts. But Juan Soto's supposed to be a 600 million man. Juan Soto is a generational talent, the centurion. And yeah, he slid into home plate, landed on his hand a certain way, whatever. They got the x-rays. They're negative. But you know the Yankees, they're not playing him tomorrow. I don't know if he'll play. I don't know when he's going to play next. 888-808-1019. The Yankees are getting exposed. The Yankees are getting literally just beaten down, because everybody's already going to give the Yankees their best shot because they're the big bad Yankees with Judge and Soto and a young Volpe and Garrett Cole and all these. Verdugo the dog. Verdugo right now is in one. Like, he's in. Like, they need to give him a mental reset. Verdugo, he can do no good right now. He's getting, I don't know. It is not good at all. It's not fun to watch. It's not fun to analyze. Not fun to talk about. And there is not an answer in sight. Eric is in Yonkers. Eric, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith.
What's up?
Hey, long time no talk. I remember talking to you when you went on maternal leave. Before you went on maternal leave, when you had your son, Axon Jackson?
Yeah.
Well, what's his first name?
Jackson.
Yeah, I called him Axon Jackson.
Yes, sir. Paternity leave ended for me June 5th of 2023. He's 14 months going on 15 months now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was like in April, right?
April 13th, 2023. Greatest day of my life.
Wow. All right. Anyway, did he pick up a baseball yet?
Of course. He can say Yankees. He's got a bat, a ball. He's got a Yankee helmet from Legends, from the ice cream. we're bringing him along.
That's good. That's good. Anyway, the Yankees, I know you're a Yankee fan. I'm a Yankee fan. I've been a Yankee fan since the late 50s.
Right.
You know, I can't remember how bad the Yankees were, you know, in this period. I mean, it was everything. By either 10-1 or they were.
Thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate you mentioning my son and calling back. Since the last time we spoke, your line was getting a little choppy, and I don't know exactly where we were going with that. The Yankees are trash right now, and it's not a slump. It's not a, oh, this too shall pass. It's a wow. They look like one of the worst teams in baseball. Wow, they're getting drummed. Wow. Katie Sharp just put out, the Yankees have now allowed 100 runs in 13 games since June 15th. That's the most in MLB over that span. Second most is 91 by the Rockies. Also in 13 games. They're down there with the worst teams in baseball again. And I feel like there were parts of last year when this happened and the year before. Like, this is becoming a theme. Like, the Yankees at times, like I look at them like they're fool's gold. As good as they can be, as almighty as they can be, they also can show you that they can be bottom feeders, which is strange. Like, it is odd to me. That's why I say I don't have the answers, folks. I'm not about to tell you how to feel. I'm not about to tell you that, oh, this is going to change when Stanton comes back, when the trade deadline hits after the All-Star break. I don't know that. They are falling apart, and I don't think the captain can save them with his words and his play. That's not enough. I don't think Aaron Boone can just, oh, how come Boone can't just pull these guys out of it? He's got to break these guys out of it. He can't. Losing is contagious, and this, like, you can see it. These guys are out of it. They, like, little things happen to them. Well, you just know that they're demoralized and they're heading for another L, and they don't have the mojo, swag, moxie, aura that they had in the beginning of the year. It evaporated. I guess the Mets stole it. I don't know. Too close of proximity. The Mets have a new mascot and a theme song. 888-808-1019. We'll take some calls on the Mets as we're in the top of the ninth here. The Orioles are Orioles. We got Orioles on the brain because that caller said that the Orioles are going to blow by us. No, they're not. We don't know that. We can still win the division. I'll put that out there. And we don't know if we're going to fall out of wild card. The Houston Astros are up 7-6 with a runner on second and third, one out in the top of the ninth. So it's not looking great for the Grimazin Mets, but who knows what happens there. Call the show. Mets fans, Yankee fans, we'll talk about it right after this.
Yeah.
Told you we'd come right back, but we got to go right back to another break and an update. Keith McPherson on the Fan. The Mets lose after having a 5-run lead. That bullpen, I mean, it is what it is. I was just listening to Mendy talk about it. They got a short pen. Guys out of pitch, like, it is what it is, yo. It's like, it defaults into this. At some point, you're not going to score 10 runs, right? At some point, you're going to face an Astros team where late in that game, they're like, they start getting crafty, right? Diekman is on the mound, and they're like, all right, well, we're gonna pinch hit Chaz McCormick for John Singleton. All right, whatever. Strikes out, grounds out. But here, let's pinch hit Cooper Hummel for Cesar Salazar. Okay, mound visit. You're going to take Diekman out. We'll put Reed Garrett in. And Reed Garrett didn't have it. Diekman didn't have it. And neither did Young. So, I don't know, man. I don't know what to tell y'all, man. I wouldn't trip over that. Like, if I'm a Mets fan, I'm not looking at this loss and saying, John, you know, the Grimace era ends. You know, they shouldn't have had that concert on the field last night. That is literally baseball Susan. Like, that's baseball season. At some point, if you don't have the horses in the pen, you got a short pen. And McGill went 5 1/3. And you had to go to a few guys. You're facing a Houston Astros team where you can't be fooled by their 500 record. They're a little better than that record shows. And they got crafty with the pinch hits and a couple walks. And it comes down to Alex Bregman, a proven postseason performer. He came up clutch. And they give up the game. And then on their end, They've got Josh Hader waiting, so there's not much you can do with that right there. For the Yankee fans, you know, something I asked earlier in the week, I said, what's more real to you? What's more sustainable to you? What do you think lasts longer, the Yankee struggles or the Mets success? Now, I think, you know, obviously we're only a couple games from the Subway Series. I think the Mets success, there's so many tangible things that you can point to say, like, this isn't a fluke. This is going to continue. They'll get Edwin Diaz back, and they have a deadline. They can add some pieces. They can add to the bullpen. They can make some moves. So I don't think that the Mets are going to just, you know, fall off a cliff here and lose seven out of their next 10. But I look at the Yankee struggles, and I'm like, oh, help is not on the way. And guys keep getting hurt, and the cracks in their armor are starting to show. And everybody wants to take a crack at the Yankees and wants to beat the Yankees. And right now, everybody is able to beat the Yankees. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Call me up with your thoughts on how to improve this team. If you guys want to fire Cashman, tell me why. If you want to fire Boone, tell me why. If you're mad at Marcus Stroman, tell me why. That's what we do here, right? We talk all around it until the next day, until we get a fresh new day and a fresh new game. The Yankees tomorrow have the chance with Gerrit Cole on the mound to split, and the Mets could potentially take the series. 888-808-1019. We'll be back right after this.